Hello everyone, Tomasz here. Yes, I know it has been a while since the last episode, but things got extremely busy here over at Fujilove. As most of you may know, 2 weeks ago we launched the Fujilove magazine and the Fujilove premium membership. Things are going great. Many thanks to all of you who have already subscribed to the magazine and for all your warm, positive feedback. Those of you who would like to find out more about the magazine and hopefully subscribe as well, go ahead to fujilove.com/premium for all the necessary details. Okay, let's jump into today's interview. Have you heard about Evgeny Chebotarev? If you are into photography, my guess is you have. Evgeny is the co-founder of 500px, probably the most popular photo sharing site on the internet. What a great surprise it was when a couple of weeks ago I found out that Evgeny is an avid Fujifilm shooter. I immediately contacted Evgeny and scheduled this interview with him. So, without any further ado, let's just jump straight to it and I hope you will enjoy it.
This is Fujilove, a podcast for Fujifilm X users from around the globe. Your weekly dose of photography inspiration and all possible Fuji X-related goodness. Thank you for tuning in.
Okay, Evgeny, welcome to Fujilove. I'm really happy to have you here on the show. How are you doing these days?
Oh, I'm pretty good, and thanks for having me.
It's really great. You know, it was a really nice surprise for me to find out. It was, I think, really just a couple of weeks ago where I found out that you are actually a Fujifilm X user yourself as well. I read a story on your blog, on 500 Pixel blog, which you posted, I think it was around 4 months ago, I guess. And you wrote an article about how much you like the X-T1.
So, that is correct, yeah.
Could you tell our listeners a little more about it? Like, what happened? How did you discover this camera? What were you shooting before? And what made you, so, you know, fall in love with it?
Absolutely, yeah. So I've been shooting different cameras, Sony and Nikon and Canon, for many years. And I do switch around them from time to time, but recently I've been shooting with Nikon, and I really like what Nikon is doing with their cameras, but what I don't like is the weight. So for a number of years, I've been looking for something lighter and smaller, and I've been trying Sony Alpha cameras, I've been trying different mirrorless, I've been trying Olympus. And, eventually we started talking to Fujifilm to support the Global Photo Walk that happened last September.
Right, and, I saw it on the site, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And as a part of the kind of like activities, they loaned me X-T1 with a bunch of lenses. Mm-hmm. And as a challenge to myself, I decided that I'll be only taking pictures with this camera for a month, like before the photo walk and during the photo walk. So I got a camera and I started shooting, and eventually, you know, having a camera for a month convinced me that this is exactly what I want. So when I came back from kind of like a few trips, and I had to give the loaner back, I reached out to them and said, like, hey, I need to buy this camera. So and I did. So I got the X-T1 for myself. Strangely, a lot of our team members from 500px, they got Fujifilm as well.
Okay.
So this is probably the most used camera in our office.
Really? This is nice to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird, but people really loved the controls. They loved the color. Loved how small and nimble it is. So people were getting X-T1s, X-T10s, X-30s, like all kinds of cameras for X-Pro 1 and X-Pro 2 whenever, it just started shipping. I think it's pretty incredible that, you know, something as a company like Fuji, they decided to sponsor become the title sponsor of the photo walk. And as a result, we probably bought, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 different cameras from them. So
they're good in marketing as well, right?
I think it worked well for them. So it worked well for us, and it worked extremely well for them as well. Yeah.
Right. And so for you personally, because you mentioned the weight, it's clear the mirrorless systems are lighter, you know, than DSLRs and lenses, everything is lighter.
Absolutely.
On the Fujis, you have the, you know, the manual controls. It's more tactile kind of feeling with all the dials.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let's say the Sony or Olympus are also, you know, light and small. What was it for you personally that made this difference that you decided to keep this one for yourself?
Right. Well, you mentioned it exactly correct. So the tactile controls, the feeling that it's almost like a manual feeling, you know, you cannot just click around, you have to adjust, and like it takes two hands to adjust controls.
All right.
I kind of like it because it makes me go back to the film days. And like I didn't have a lot of experience with film cameras. I had just one film camera. Mm-hmm. But the feeling that you actually think about what you're going to take is what I like a lot. So... Okay.
I mean, this is, in the end, it's all about photography. So in the end, it's all about the images we are seeing. So I am convinced you must have also, you know, you must have seen and you must have liked something in comparison when it comes to the actual image character or quality, right?
Because it is, but it's really weird. So like, I don't know if that's the answer you expect. But with Fuji, like with different cameras, with Nikon and Canon, I used to process photos a lot. So, you know, add a lot of color, add a lot of contrast and things like that. But with Fuji, they have this film color and I kind of wanted to keep it. So for a lot of photos, my photos changed because of that, because they became more kind of like straight out of camera. I spend less time processing the photos. I spend kind of like it's a different experience. So overall, I take my camera more often with me, and I process photos less. So they become more more authentic, and just kind of like less photoshopped in a sense.
In a way, more concentrated on the process, on the moment of photographing, right?
Yeah. And as a part of that, I can basically upload and show people more photos because of that, because I'm not spending that much time on processing, which I kind of hate. So, <Yeah. laughs> so having kind of like a natural look just getting photos as quickly as I can. It is something that is really, really nice, and I really like it.
But as we speak now, I'm actually looking, you know, at your personal feed at 500 pixel, and beautiful photos, by the way. Congratulations! And
thanks.
But still, you are into some kind of presets, right? You are from time to time. I see some of the pictures having this special, you know.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And it's something that I keep on exploring. So, you know, I would find something that I like, and my goal is just to go out and try to recreate that. So I find the photographer or the style that I like, and some people can even guess the names of the photographers that I'm trying to imitate. Okay. Because it's not a big secret, and it's just my way of learning. So I go out there, I take a photo, I try to see how they see and process them as they process, and when I get like good enough results, I actually move on and find something else.
Okay, if you would have to name one guy, you know, one photographer who you're digging these days, or you know, like, would you have a name for us? Who you like?
Sure.
These days?
It's funny because so we have a guy. His name is Tim, and he works for us.
Okay.
And when he started working for us, he actually wasn't a photographer, and now he is pretty famous both on FireNPX and Instagram. Very active in the community. His name is Tim Gavica, and he likes rooftoping and exploring abandoned things. And his style is something of a unique style that people from our company actually try to imitate, not just me, others as well. And it's kind of nice. We always point it out.
Okay, great. I will find him out, and then we a link to his stuff as well. Great. So, Evgeny, you are running one of the most popular, if not the most popular, photo sharing site on the net. So you must, you for sure, you have a good insight, you know, in the global situation of camera users, what in the into the statistics, what are the people using? How does it actually look these days when you look at the 500px, you know, database? How popular the Fujifilm cameras are these days?
Well, I can tell you that it's really different dynamic between, for example, Instagram and 500px. Mm-hmm. And for example, if you take, I don't know, Flickr or Instagram, most photos are taken with smartphones. Mm-hmm. It's just a number one camera, right. Whether it's Android or iPhone, it doesn't matter, but it's just the smartphones. And when you look at 500px, it's still more professional cameras. Mm-hmm. We published stats not so long ago, and I think that Canon and Nikon were obviously number one and two, and like they, I don't remember who is number one. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, everybody else, and Fuji as well, and Sony still have a really tiny market share. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it actually matters that much, because what I see from Fuji and Sony and any small kind of like player, they innovate a lot faster because they want to gain that market share. Sure. And that's what I personally like. So I don't think that, you know, how many percent you have in the global market share matters that much.
Sure. I mean, this is mirrorless anyway. It's relatively new, you know, thing on the market. This is, you know, a couple of years, and this is probably now about. But do you see the clear growth in the numbers? Like, you know, I don't know how often you look at the statistics when it comes to mirrorless, you know, cameras.
Frankly, what I've seen is that mirrorless have been growing, but not too fast. Okay. Basically, like what is happening, and like I think we all know what is happening, is that the smartphones are just taking over every right. single camera out there. And producers of big, fancy DSLRs, they don't see, you know, their shipments are pretty small, right? Mm-hmm. Because the cameras are for really special markets. And that's where I see companies like Fuji actually have a chance to create something really interesting, because they can have connected cameras and something that, you know, Fuji users know, you can have Wi-Fi and you can just, you know, upload and download photos, edit them on your iPad or something,
right.
and publish them right away. And that's exactly what I've been doing in the last month. Mm-hmm. So basically, I haven't edited a single picture in the last maybe 3 weeks on mm-hmm. my laptop, and all the photos I've been editing on my phone.
Yeah. Actually, what I am also personally hoping for, I'm a big, apparently big Fujifilm enthusiast, but I would be happy that, you know, they stay actually within their, you know, niche. They do this thing very, very well. And, you know, the main thing is that they keep the photography, you know, spirit in it. And okay, sure, this is a company. They have to think about marketing, about growing, but I just hope they will not lose, you know, this out of sight, you know, the photographic
right,
of things.
Right. And I don't think they will. I have a lot of friends who are kind of like just beginner photographers, mm-hmm. and they love Fuji because it looks like a retro camera.
Right.
and they buy it because it looks like an old school camera. So they just like the look. And then they find out that it's actually a good camera as well.
Right. And if they are shooting on the street, nobody cares about them, right?
Exactly. And I've been recently shooting with X30, the mm-hmm. tiny camera. And it's amazing. Like, it's small and light and nobody cares. You know, that's basically all you need if you are just traveling. So
absolutely.
I feel mm-hmm. like it's a perfect one for,
great.
You know.
Mm-hmm. According to Wikipedia article from August last year, the 500 pixel has at the moment around 6 million users. Is it correct?
We have 7 right now.
You hit 7. Wow. Congratulations. So you are basically seeing millions of photographs being uploaded to the site every month. And when was it when you went online with the 500px, actually? When was the first time 500 pixel went online?
As you know, as a brand and as a community, it appeared in 2004. Mm-hmm. And it started as a hobby of mine because I got into photography a few years prior. And I was looking to share my photos and learn from others. Mm-hmm. So I just, whipped up something together, called it Fire NPX, and shared with all my friends. So okay. it's as simple as that, right? There's no like magic to that.
So when you went online with this first iteration, were you thinking at all about some kind of bigger thing in the future?
I don't think so. Like, maybe I wanted that, but I never, it was a hobby. I was at university and I knew that I was bored at university. So I wanted to start something that would keep me occupied and would mm-hmm. keep my passion alive because, mm-hmm. This is something that I'm passionate about for the last 14 years. I never dreamed that it would be that big. So
it happened by itself. Suddenly you realize it started growing.
No, I don't think it happened by itself because I remember the days when, you would be building something and people would be like, oh, I don't know if FireNTX will be around in a year from now uh-huh. or something like this. I don't know if I should put my pictures on it. And they've been saying this in, 2005, 2006, mm-hmm. 2007, and then like 2010. And suddenly after 10 years, yeah, it's big. So it takes a lot of time and a lot of people will question what do you do and like why you do this. Mm-hmm. But I knew that, I basically couldn't do anything else. So I just had to keep doing that.
I think this is the nicest story I could hear. I mean, that you started something out of your, passion from the bottom of your heart and then it's growing. I mean, there is no doubt something like this would be successful. This is my opinion. But and the 500px is actually a perfect example of this kind of theory.
So, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. You have been observing, for the last year, let's say this 12, 14 years, you have been observing people uploading pictures. So you are looking at many, many, many pictures from all parts of the world. Have you been observing any general trends when it comes to photographers' preferences, the subjects people like to shoot or the, have you been seeing some kind of, general trends changing?
Yeah, well, there's always the same kind of like themes that are always there, like nature or, photos of women, photos of animals, photos of cities. So this is something that is just kind of like an overall subject again and again. But obviously, the smartphone photography and advances in DSLR meant that there is a lot more things that can be done with photography these days. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like now more polarizing because on one end you see kind of like higher end DSLRs and people producing amazing landscapes, for example, that mm-hmm. are out of this world, just right. like incredible yeah. with stars and all that. That was technically not possible even like 6 years ago. There was no star trails or photos right. of stars like 6 years ago because there was no technology to right. do that. Mm-hmm. And only really, really few people could afford the patience to kind of like get those photos. Mm-hmm. And now you just, you go out there, every camera can shoot that. So there's no more mystery to that. Mm-hmm. And the same happens kind of like with a lot of other subjects where photographers are taking it further and further. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what I'm seeing is a lot more actually smartphone and, iPhone photography where people are liberated by being, you bought an iPhone, for example, and you thought that you bought a phone, but actually you got a camera.
Right.
And you almost got tricked into getting a camera by accident. And it meant that now there is almost 1 billion people or 2 billion people with smartphones mm-hmm. that can be creative if they want to. So nothing stops them from being creative. And that's the biggest mm-hmm. kind of like okay. the biggest hidden revolution that is happening. So we are seeing a lot more artists that are emerging every day mm-hmm. Kind of like with new concepts, with complete disrespect to like the old ways of doing things, which I think is really good because when old photographers were growing up, they have kind of like classical rules of how to do photography and what it means and things like that. And new style and kind of like new generation, they just want to create, and it doesn't matter for them if they have an iPhone or like a $10,000 camera. They just go out and they explore, you know.
Exactly. But I must say, you know, I have always had a little trouble with this saying. Very often we hear this saying, it's all about the photographer and about his eye and, you know, and his heart. But of course, as you said, the technology in some way, you know, technology gives us new tools and opens up new possibilities. I mean, I can't take a picture of, you know, as you say, of Star Trails without having this technology. I can. So like, you know, 10 years ago, we could have dreamed about it. Right.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think this is this kind of synergy between technology and, you know, our own creative eye. That produces the body of work which we are seeing today on the sharing sites and everywhere. Do you have time for your own photography? Do you have enough time for your own photography?
Yeah, actually, I didn't have that a couple of years back. And what is happening right now? I'm actually taking some time off to get back into photography, and that's why I started traveling a little more. And I'm leaving to China in a week's time from now.
Oh, nice.
And I just want to be out there taking photos, finding my my style and things that I want to shoot and things like that. Like keep meeting photographers and making new connections. But yeah, it's something that I missed a few years back when we were just building the site and were super busy with all the things that, you know, just kind of like come up. But currently it's a really solid team that we have. There is almost 100 people working on the site right now. So it's and I feel that now it's probably a good time for me to actually kind of like almost take a step back and see bigger picture and see, as you say, like all the things like trends, like where are we going, what the cameras, what the tools mean for us. Do we need the tools or do we just, you know, kind of like
get addicted?
Yeah. it's all the things, like it's nice to see them in perspective. And when you're doing day to day, it's getting hard and hard to kind of like abstract yourself from that and see bigger picture.
I'm a little bit in this moment now. I mean, I love photography, but for me, with Fujilife and everything was happening here, with a much smaller scale, of course. But still, I'm struggling now to find, you know, a moment to grab a camera and go out. So happy for you that you already, you know, can enjoy it again.
I know those are different stages. So enjoy your stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is it that you know inspires you the most? What do you like photographing the most at the moment? Is there something?
You mean photographers or
no? I mean, yeah, you. I mean, when you grab your camera, is it landscape? Is it details? Street?
Oh, yeah, it's something. So I keep. So fun fact. I was going with my friends to Chicago in December, and one of them posted a photo of a Chicago theater with the reflection. You know, with the puddle reflection, and I got so excited about that that I went there to the same spot and I spent an hour shooting the whole theater through the puddles and through the reflections. And that's basically what I keep on doing because I got so addicted to that that a lot of my photos are now shot through reflections, either like some mirror or something. So just basically just reflections.
Great.
And hopefully, you know, somebody told me that they're already tired of that, of me doing that. But I still think there is a lot kind of like to discover and learn while doing that. So I'll probably keep that style for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. I would think it's good, you know, to I know this. I know the problem. I get interested in something and then after a while I'm thinking like, okay, has it been enough now? But then when I keep digging the subject, actually you really keep learning a lot. Then you start learning, then you start exploring. So I think it's a good turn on your side to keep
going. Well, yeah, everything in moderation. So
and I'm sure our listeners are dying to hear, you know, what kind of lens or lenses are you using on your X-T1? Because, you know, there is a nice selection, but what are your favorite Fuji lenses at the moment?
Well, on my last trip, I brought just two lenses that I've been using quite a lot. It is 23mm and 56.
Nice.
And the other one that I have big hopes for, I have it, and I'll bring it to China, is 10-24. Which is great.
You will love it. I'm using this lens. Not a lot, you know. It's getting pretty wide, right? But you know, for certain scenes and either for street, great lens, absolutely.
Yeah, basically for like, you know, I used to shoot a lot of landscape photography, and this is the go-to lens for the landscape. You basically, like, if you're shooting landscape, that's the only lens you ever need.
Right.
Because that's all the classic landscapes are shot with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's that's the only set that I have. I feel like I want to get like a wide prime, like 14mm or 16mm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. So it's, you know, I keep it light. I keep it kind of like street level, pretty wide in general. And I feel that having this limitation is actually pretty good.
And you are traveling with just one buddy, with one X-T1?
Yeah, I'm going to be pretty, you know, risking everything on one buddy and three lenses and one extra battery. And
a couple of batteries, right?
Yeah, and just one extra battery. So just enough for one day of shooting.
Great,
yeah.
Great. How long are you staying in China?
I'll be there for about a month.
Oh, wow.
So I'll be switching different cities and see how it goes. So might stay longer. So it's something that you will see on Fire and Text for sure. You'll see all the photos and you'll see all the adventures.
We'll make sure we follow your feed. So just, you know, to wrap things up, I guess the best place to point our listeners to, you know, when they want to follow you is the 500 pixel feed.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any other site or a link you would like to share with our audience?
No, FireNPX is where most of my photos appear anyway. And it's a good place to start. And, you know, from there you can find other links. So it's pretty pretty simple.
Great. Thanks a lot, Evgeny. Enjoy China.
Thanks. Really appreciate it.
And enjoy your Fujis. And hopefully talk to you another time. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Love Fuji. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fuji Love Podcast. Stay up to date with Fuji Love. Follow our Facebook page and join the Fuji Love Facebook Readers Group. Head over to www.fujilove.com for all the necessary information. Take good care, and we will talk to you next time.